You're listening to Waters Church Podcast, where faith meets real life. We're one church, many locations, and one mission, to see lives changed by Jesus. No matter where you're listening from, you are a part of Waters Church family. Now, let's dive into today's message from our pastor.
Are we excited for the Word of God this morning? Amen. Have you noticed that people are always looking around, people are always chasing for something? You know, they're always in the midst of looking for someone, looking for something. And it's pretty much because they have a void and it can't be filled, but they haven't encountered Jesus Christ. But you know, people are always running up to something, running away from something. But people are always moving around in this fast-paced world trying to chase something. And the funny thing is that we live on a world that is actually confused. We live on a world that is lost. We live in a world that is just looking for direction, which is not a bad thing. However, they're just looking for directions in the wrong places. I remember yesterday being in the grill and I hear a Whitney Houston song and I was like, man. So it was something about love and she made herself the person. And I was like, what is going on? Again, the right thought. She's looking for something, but she's looking for something in the wrong places. And so this world actually tells us some crazy stuff. It kind of says like, hey, look for money and guess what? Your life will be secure. You know, look for power and you actually will feel important. They say, chase sex and you will feel loved. They say things like, search popularity and you will be liked, like be an influencer and you will belong and people will praise you. And they say things like chase success and you will finally be enough. Now, I do want to be honest and clear. All of these things, money, power, sex, popularity, success, in the right context are good things. But the moment that you put them in a shelf or a place before God, they become nothing but an idol. That's what they become. And actually, I had an issue with the sneakers, so I had to stop. I'm being honest. You know what's crazy is that even little things as sneakers, right? They could become an idol. You know what's, and I laugh too, so don't worry about it, you know? But you know what's so funny is that sometimes even we forget that gluttony is a sin too. You know, because we don't talk about it all the time in church, so we don't think that it doesn't exist. But with that being said, I want to be honest. Having all these things are not bad, but when you put them in the context and you put them before God, they become an idol. And so what is an idol? An idol is simply anything that you run to for what only God can give you. An idol is something or anything that you put before your Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And the Bible actually talks about how an idol is nothing in this world at all. But sometimes if we can be honest, if I can be honest, sometimes we bow down to things before God. And we have created all sorts of idols in this world. Like, our phones have become our idols. You know, for the older folks, Facebook has become an idol. Just saying. For the young people, is this the young section? They only told me not to pass this line, so I'm going to go right here. Snapchat, Instagram, becomes an idol. All of these things that we put before God can become idols. And we built idols out of careers, and we built idols out of relationships, out of political figures, out of political parties. We built idols in all areas, idols out of comforts, out of desires. We get to a place that we start scrolling for validation. Anybody know? You know when you go to the bathroom and you got to take your phone to the bathroom? I know. Because I'm from the generation when we used to read the label on the air freshener. You know, but we start scrolling for validation and we work for worth and we start chasing people and we start chasing, I'm going to look at this side, boyfriends and girlfriends for validation for only to fill that void that only God can give you. And we start creating this idols and we say, my truth louder than we can say God's truth. And we say all these things, but guess what? All these things can promise you something which is temporary, keyword, satisfaction. Amen. It's not eternal because only the King is eternal. Amen. And this world just offers you these things and you actually end up being more thirsty than what you actually started. Idols that we create. And again, some of us, sometimes me included, we're searching for things that don't matter. We're searching for things that are out of our reach and we're lost and we get confused and we're looking for things in the wrong places. And now, back to Exodus, the Bible shows us that the same spirit that we live with today, it's also the same spirit that was back in the day in Exodus 32. I love when we say sometimes, when some people say that the Bible is not relevant, the reality is that the Bible has never been more relevant today. Amen. Because when God writes this stuff, when he wrote this stuff back in the day, it still applies to me today. And he actually speaks to us even deeply. So back in Exodus, before I get there, I want to give you some context. Is that all right with you? Of where we're going to be. So I'm going to tell you, we're going to be at Exodus 32. Exodus 32. So just scroll a couple more chapters. Exodus 32. But this is the context of it. So Israel was in bondage in Egypt. There was a guy named Pharaoh, right? And he was holding him captive. Now God sends this guy named Moses to free his people. To say, Pharaoh, let my people go. And so Israel had witnessed some of the greatest times of history. In fact, they watched God send a ton of plagues over to Egypt. Then they saw God bring them to a Red Sea. They thought it was over. But let me tell you that when you think that your life is over, it's just when God is starting. Oh my God. I don't know about you, but I came to preach to myself. When you think the time is over, that's when God makes a way. Amen. And so they saw God split the Red Sea in half. Not only that, they walked through dry ocean. You never seen that. You never heard of that. You know, dry ocean. And then when they thought that they were done, when they thought they were cooked, they looked back. And then God just whoosh, kills Pharaoh's army and destroys them. Not only that, but they saw God's faithfulness in the wilderness. You know, when God was sending them that Holy Ghost Chick-fil-A called manna, hey, you know, for those who are not church yet, there's the thing called manna, which is bread, but it's bread from heaven. I call it Chick-fil-A. That's what I'm saying. When God was sending them that number two spicy with cheese, hey, my God. No bun. Because I got to watch my figure. I'm just saying, I already lost my eyes. I don't want to lose nothing else, right? So I'm watching my sugars. So if pause on the sermon. If you are wondering how my eyes are doing, just keep me in prayers. I only see like a box this big, you know, but I'm able to move because God has been blessing my life. And actually, yeah. So I don't see by one eye, but that's okay. Because I only need one mouth to preach. That's all I'm saying. And if my eyesight's gone, My ears can go, my mouth can go. If my mouth goes, it's because I went with him. That's it. There's no other way. And I'm already packed for the rapture. I already said that, but I just want to remind you. Anyways, moving on. Sorry. So, every day, God proved himself to be faithful to this people. But guess what? Yet, in Exodus 32, we see one of the saddest moments in the story of Israel. Moses goes up to a mountain. The mountain was called Mount Sinai. And Moses was receiving direction from God. Moses was receiving instructions from God. Moses was receiving commandments from God. While Moses was up in the mountain and he was in the presence of the Lord, the people that were in the valley, they were growing impatient. And they were just wanting to create something. Doesn't that sound like us sometimes? You know, we see God's faithfulness. We see him giving us breath in our lungs. We see him giving us life. We see him providing for us, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You know, we see him healing. But yet, we become impatient and we start complaining. Doesn't that sound like us? So they decide to create something that they can see, something that they could touch, something that they could feel. So they created this statue. And they created this golden calf. I had to practice that because it's spelled C-A-L-F. And I'm Puerto Rican, so I go, calf. It's kind of like salmon. That's the L, so I say salmon. And my wife goes, it's salmon. I don't know why. Bring it up to God. But calf. And you know what's a side note about this? Is that what amazes me the most, and for the people that are hearing me and hearing the podcast or watching me online, you're not going to see me do air quotations. But what amazes me the most is that they didn't complain when God had failed them. They still complained when God was still providing for them. Interesting. Does that sound like anybody you know? Finger and point it at yourself, because I know a lot of you do that too. And so, church, God has been faithful. God has made a way where it seems like there's no way. God has blessed us. Yet we become impatient, uncomfortable, uncertain, and we want security somewhere else other than God. And so Exodus 32 is not just a story of Israel. However, I believe that it mirrors today's life and it reveals some of our lives and some of our hearts. So this is where we at. Hopefully, I gave you a great context for you to understand. If you didn't get it now, just watch the sermon back again. Scripture 32 says like this. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, make us God who shall go before us. As for this, Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, hey, take off your rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all of these people took their rings of gold and in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And Aaron, he received the gold from their hands and fashioned it in a graving tool and made a golden calf. Somebody say, bad Aaron. Thank you. That was crazy, man. And so he received gold from their hands and fashioned it in graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Isn't that crazy, church? Man. Now, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings unto the people and sat down and ate and drank and rose up early to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Shake my head. That is crazy. Wow. Church, before we move any further, I want to give you three idols of this generation. I want to give you three idols of the generation that I believe that they still compare to the ones from the same spirit that was in Exodus 32. Three idols of this generation. And the first one is this. Point number one is the idol of self. The idol of self. That's you. That's me. That's us. The idol of self. When we put our own desires, church, when we put our own feelings and my truth above God's truth and above God, we actually don't realize it, but we're making ourselves gods of our own life. We don't realize that the Bible in Exodus 32 says, hey, they have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They just didn't make an idol for themselves. They made themselves the idol. And the calf was visible. They wanted something that they could see. They wanted something that they could touch. They wanted something that they can actually feel. And they became impatient in their hearts. And then it pretty much the calf represents a version of their own truth. The calf represents a version of their own timing. They're operating in this autonomy and they don't realize that God has already directed them on what not to do. However, I believe, in my personal opinion, that this was rank rebellion. I think that this was the worship in religious clothing. Side note to this. How many of us are in this place where we recklessly, out of self-ambition, God tells us not to do something, we do it, and then we say, well, God told me to do it. Recklessly. You know, this is why we got to be careful when we read the Bible out of context, like Philippians 4:13. You know, God is telling you, hey, don't do this, and then you go and do it. And God says, don't do it, and then you go and you do it. And then when all things go crazy, you say, well, God must have changed his mind. Really? I don't think so. This is why Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength, right? I can do all things in Christ. So sometimes we use that out of context and it becomes so dangerous. Now, this is the same idol that I believe that is not only dominating our culture, the idol of self, but it's tragically dominating some churches. Not only here, but around the whole world. Let me explain to you why. Because then we start crowning my truth, my desires, which are saying my feelings, it's my identity, I'm the authority, and we start quoting scripture, ignoring clear commandments that God gave us. And then we start rewriting this version of Jesus as the nice affirming therapist that never challenges my life and never challenges me to repent. What are we doing? What idols have we created that we rewrite Jesus as an affirming therapist and say, oh, God, I'm a sinner, but God loves me. Yes, that's true. It is very true. Yes, God is grateful. Yes, God is merciful. But guess what? He's also a God who will rebuke you. He's also a God who will reprove you. He's also a God that will correct you when you're wrong. What are you believing? What idols have you created in your life? I'm not angry. I'm just excited about this word. Man, what are we doing in our lives that we've created this ideology of self? We have created gods. And I'm here to tell you that yes, God loves you, but he will also correct you when you're wrong. How good will it be for me to tell my kids all the time, I love you. Papi loves you. Oh my gosh, you're so cute. And never tell you that you're doing things wrong. I'm not going to set you out for failure. I'm going to set you out for success. But not any type of success. I'm going to set you up for godly success. This is why sometimes I don't want to say I'm hard on my kids. But the thing about it is, the Bible says, as a commandment to honor your father and mother. And if you cannot honor me, that you can see me, you have me in the flesh, how are you going to honor a God that you can't see? This section is quiet. Pick up your phone and say, come to church for the 12 o'clock. I just said, I'm kidding. All right. God will correct you. And since the beginning, since the fall, you go back to Genesis 3:5. You know, when it talks, when it's about the serpent, it says, don't you know that if you eat up this fruit, you will be like God? Since the beginning, it's a lie from the pit of hell. That's telling you, choose your heart, follow your heart, follow your emotions. But do you notice that the word says that your heart is deceitful? Yeah. Yeah. Lemmy! Don't you know that your heart is deceitful? Don't you know that your heart lies to you? Do you know that we worship God not from feelings, because sometimes you feel it and sometimes you don't? So what are you going to do? You're going to worship God based on how you woke up today? Oh, today I'm going to worship him because I feel good. Really? How about you worship God in the valley too? How about you worship God when things ain't going your way? How about you worship God when he's faithful or he is not, in your own understanding? Air quotation marks. How about you worship him when your life is falling apart? Because if you only hide that word inside of his heart, you're not going to sin against him. You want to know why? Because when your world falls apart, you know who's the one that put it together in Genesis 1? It was him. It wasn't you. It wasn't by your might. It wasn't by your power. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. My God. Woo! Man, I can't preach. Don't worry, if you like it, send me a Cash App. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Pastor Tim. Just kidding, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Just send me a cyber truck to my house. Hey, last time I preached, I said, I'm going to pray that God will bless me with a Tesla. Guess what? He blessed me with a Tesla, which is the only way I could drive, by the way. So if you see me on the road, don't freak out. It's the car driving by itself. Don't worry about it. I'm driving by faith, not by sight. Hey! If there's any cops here, just letting you know, I put my seatbelt on and I just turn autopilot and I just put my glasses on and I just let it ride. Sometimes I take a little snooze. That's okay. That's the future. We're going to get there. You're going to be able to take naps. That's okay. All right, moving on. The scripture. So Jesus encounters this, and Jesus counters this about how the scripture in Luke 9:23 says like this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Encounters offer the idea of self-idols. Point number two, the idol of approval. The idol of approval. We're chasing likes. We're chasing comments. We're chasing relationships. And some of us are chasing people's praise. We're always needing somebody to validate us, you know, or somebody to affirm us instead of finding worth in Jesus Christ. You know what's something I love about Pastor Geiser, the father of this house, which is one of the reasons why we're all here. But you know what I love is that he did a sermon called I'm a Soldier in the Army of Christ. You know, I remember him saying, I don't need nobody to send me flowers. I don't need nobody to tell to validate me. I don't need nobody to praise me. Guess what? Because I am a child of God. Because I know my worth in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we are prideful of it, but I am gonna walk like I am royal priesthood in front of the enemy, tell you that. Because I'm not what this world tells me to be. You know, the kingdom logic never makes sense. You know what the world tells you? The world tells you you got to be first and you got to run this. But my Bible tells me that those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Bible tells me that I am the head and not the tail. The Bible tells me that if he's for me, who can be against me? Oh, my God. I'm just telling you. I started remembering scripture, learning my scripture, because if I lose my eyes, I was like, I got to do something. And so sometimes God will do things just to slow you down a little bit. Oof, preaching to myself. And so we chase things. We chase the likes, we chase the comments, we chase the shares on Facebook and Instagram and all this stuff. But sometimes we even soften the gospel just to be able to fit in. But we ain't called to fit in. We're called to stick out. We're called to show who Jesus Christ is, not us. We're supposed to be empty vessels. Oof, my God, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say that in a little bit. Sometimes we need other people to approve us, and we need our friends, air quotation marks, here, and colleagues and church members to validate us and our choices and blah, 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 instead of finding our identity in Christ. You realize that you were created in the image and likeness of God. You weren't created in the world's image. You were created in His image. And so the golden calf is a representation, invisibility of what we struggle today. And human praise, but Jesus warns us in the scripture, Luke 6:26, it says like this, it says, woe to you when all the people speak well of you, for so they did their fathers to the false prophets. You see, church, the desire of approval of ancient idolatry is modern clothing. We need to be careful that we're not falling into idol of self-approval. 3, the idol of security. The idol of security. You know what this means? This is when we start trusting money and we start trusting our jobs more than God. It means when we put our trust in possessions, when we start putting our trust and thinking, if I can only get this, then I will be safe and I will be secure and my family will be secure. Well, let me tell you that this is a golden calf. The scripture says this in Exodus 32:4. It says, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. You see, I'm coming for you. We pour our lives into our 401k, you know, and we start pouring our security and trust into our careers, into, I just need one more bump just so that I can make 6 figures. I just need one more bump just so that I could be the top. And we start putting idols in our bank accounts and in our security and in bigger homes and in bigger cars and in financial institutions and cushions and believing that they're finally going to give peace. Let me tell you that we say with our, you better be a church. We say with our actions, if not our lips, like the famous theologian Drake, started from the bottom, now we're here. Translation for the older folks. You know, we start saying, I got here because I built that. That was me. You see that car? I worked hard for it. You see that big home? That 4,000 square feet? I did that because I did a broker stock deal. I don't know how it works, but I did this and I did that. I don't work in the stock market. I work for Jesus. So, you know, and I did this and I did that. Did you really? Huh? Interesting. I was going to, you stole it from me. Now, I don't know about you, but my riches are not found on earthly possessions. Woo! My riches are found in Jesus. Because guess what? This world is going to fail me. But you know who's not going to fail me? His name is Jesus Christ. I call him Jesus. That's what I'm saying. You know? Because he's the one that provides. He's the one that heals. He's the one that restores. In fact, the Bible tells me that he's not only the Alpha, but he also the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. From Genesis to Revelation, he's never lost a battle. He's not about to start with me. I'm just telling you that I serve a good God. He's the God that tells me that I'm the head and not the tail. He's the one that calls me a child of the kingdom. He's the one that tells me I'm not an orphan. I'm telling you. He's the one that if my mother and father will abandon me, he will not. He's the one that is going to visit me when I am lonely. He's the one that's going to pick me up when the enemy tries to tell me that I'm not good enough. When the enemy just comes and tries to lie, God tells you, you know what? The enemy is a liar and he's already lost the battle because the gates of hell will not prevail. That is who I serve. And let me just tell you, if you are someone who is struggling with these idols this morning, or maybe some of the ones that I have mentioned or have not, I've got good news for you. And I'm going to be quick. I'm going to give you three or more points, which is three ways to destroy your idols. And the greatest news that you probably hear today is that the same Jesus that can set you free is the same one that can destroy your idols. And this is the thing. I know that some idols are easy to spot, but y'all and myself have been carrying some idols that are in the closet. Those are the ones that Jesus also cares. And you know what's so funny for the married people is that God will give you somebody who will call you out when you're on your mess, who will say, hey, I don't like the way that you talked. I don't like the way that you behave because you acted like this, like that. And that does not show the fruits of the Spirit. Because let me tell you, sin and idols is like bad breath. Nobody knows that they have it until somebody says, you got to pop a mint, brother. Right? Or like, I had coffee, so... And then somebody said, Pastor, pray for me after, and you're going to fall in the spirit, but it's not the spirit, it's the spirit of bad breath. Or like, it's like stinky feet, right? You don't know you have it, because you've been wearing the same New Balances for years. And you don't know until somebody says, hey, you better go to, is it orthopedics? Is that what you better go get that checked out. But the reason why is because the person that's carrying the bad order, or the person that's carrying the idol, or the person that's carrying the sin, usually they don't see it. That's why they need people in their lives who will see it and catch it on when they, hey, you're acting prideful right now. Ooh. Because think about it. If you were almost with the affirming gospel that we talked about earlier, kind of like, girl, boy, you're killing it. I don't need you to tell me I'm killing. I need you to tell me I'm wrong. That is what I'm talking about. So three things, three actions real quick that I want to give you. Point four, which is recognizing the idol and repenting. You need to recognize the idol and you need to repent. You can't attack that you don't see. That's why we fight. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We actually fight against spiritual things. It's a spiritual thing. You're carrying idols. And so just like Moses came down out of the mountain and he quickly confronted that golden calf, you've got to be honest with God. And you got to say, Lord, forgive me. God, I've sinned against you. Lord, I've created things and I've put them ahead of you. Lord, forgive me. True repentance is not just saying I'm sorry. It's actually repenting is moving, turning away from your sins. I'll tell that I'm preaching to you. Man, the other day I was rude to my wife. And we had a conversation. And who knows, those are the conversations that then you got to sit in the car with her after. And you don't even want to peek. But it was a needed conversation. Because she reminded me, saying I'm sorry is not good enough. Yeah, that's your pastor telling you that? I mean, you come to the right church, right? I love Hebrew and I love Greek and I love the word, but sometimes I need a sermon that tells me that the pastor struggles too. And so, this thing. We've been chasing idols. and we need to turn away from that. And so John, 1 John 1:9 says like this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Point five, you can destroy this idol by returning to his presence. Returning to his presence. Moses cried out to God in Exodus. The scriptures is in Exodus 33:15 says like this, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Church, I don't know about you, but I don't want to move without Jesus. Amen. I don't want to go anywhere without him. Because guess what? I know that I'm flawed. I know that I'm unqualified. I know that I don't fit the right thing without him. That's why my desires and our all desires as pastors of Waters Church is that you will not see me, but you will see him through him. You will see us as an empty vessel that he fills us up so that we can pour the word of God into you. And so we need to get back to his presence because only in him we can find true freedom. Because who the Son says free is what? Is free indeed. And this is why we worship. This is why we pray. This is why we seek God. This is why we need the Holy Spirit and we seek his presence. Because in his presence, every demonic power loses. The enemy cannot win. In his presence, things change. You know what's so funny? Something that I was going to say earlier is that it was funny to me that the Israelites were just going around and around and around in a circle. And the thought popped in my head when I was talking to a friend of mine. And he told me, and I told him back, and we were just geeking over the sermon. And we're like, bro, do you realize that they walked for such a long time in circles? Do you realize that they were carrying idols? But have you ever noticed that God does not dwell where there's sin? So go read Exodus. Does it make sense? They created a golden calf. They created one. And they had more idols that they needed to get rid of. But God cannot physically dwell there because if he would have dwelled there, he would have killed them all. They were on their way to the promised land. Look how relevant it is to today's. You were in captivity. You came to a church where you heard the gospel. God freed you. You still have stuff. We're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to the promised land. But God cannot dwell where there's sin. You need to let go of some idols. I need to let go of some idols. Not some, all of them. However, it can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to replace our idol, which is the last one, with total surrender. We need to replace with total surrender, which is the next slide right there. And I'll read the scripture first, but it's Exodus 34:10. It says, the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you, and I'm going to tell you why. We need to destroy the calves and the altars that we created. We need to surrender it to God. Because only when we destroy our idols, God will make a covenant back with us. Which is what we just read. I am making a covenant with you. Some of us have placed idols in front of God. And some of us have broken that covenant with God. And we need to surrender it to him. Church, I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to tell you what you need to hear. Amen. And I'm going to wrap it up like this. Sermon in a sentence. Anything I place before God becomes an idol. Anything I place before God becomes an idol. But surrendering to Jesus restores him in his rightful place in my life. You see, when Jesus is truly Lord of your life, there's no more room for idols. When Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, he becomes your everything, your peace, your security, your joy, your identity. And I want to be honest with you, this morning he's calling you to lay your idols down. And this is not just for the unchristian, this is as much as for the Christian is too. We're going to do two things. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, I'm glad you're here. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. And let me just remind you, there's nothing that you have done that is so bad that God cannot forgive you. That God can pick you up and take you out of that. There's no idol so big that you have created that he cannot turn them down. Some of you are in the valley, but don't forget that the same God of the mountain is also the same God of the valley. And he's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. Church, we serve a good God. All you have to do is accept him as your Lord and Savior. Now, if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity. And then for the Christian, after we celebrate those who come, I'm going to ask you a question so you actually remain seated. But if that's you, if you need Jesus Christ in your life, because he truly changes lives, you need to accept him. And let me just prove it to you. Hey, Kevin, has God changed your life? He nodded. Jesse, has God changed your life? Amen. Vernon, has God changed your life? God has changed my life. Hey, front row, the ones that are closer to heaven. Let me speak to you all right here. Has God changed all of your lives? And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. I'm not gatekeeping when heaven rejoices. I'm not gatekeeping Jesus, because everybody needs to know that he's still God, and that he's transforming, and that he's changing, and that he's healing. So if that's you, if you need Jesus Christ kind of like God did to us, pray this prayer after me. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's just you and God. So everybody do me a favor, let's close up our eyes, repeat this. If this is you, repeat this prayer. If you've never done this prayer, but you repeat it. Say it under your breath if you have to. Repeat it. Shout it out to me back. I don't care. But just do it. Not only just do it, but mean it. Say, dear God, I am a sinner in need of you. Give me grace. Give me mercy. Change my life. Allow my old self to die so that I may gain eternal life with you. Today is the day that I become yours, but you also become mine. In Jesus' name. Now, while every eye still closed and only myself is looking, I'm going to ask you to do something super bold, probably the boldest thing that you could have ever done. But it's to not raise your hand, because anybody can raise up their hand, but it's actually to take a stand forward and say, I decide to accept Jesus, and what I want to do is I want to celebrate with you. So what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to scan from the left to the right. I'm going to ask you to take a step forward and get up and stand up and say, I decide to follow Jesus today. And nobody's looking. I am looking. But it's because I want to celebrate with you. So I'm going to scan from the left to right. Please stand up. Come on, stand up. Don't be afraid. Come on. I know you're here. Hey, I see you. Hey, I see you. Hey, I see you. Come on, get up. Come on, get up. Get up. Get up out of that grave. I see you. Come on. Get up out of that grave. Come on. I see you. I see you. You see that celebration? Well, heaven rejoices even better. Welcome to the family of Christ. You may take a seat. You may take a seat. This is where the second part of this comes. A lot of you, including myself, have been holding some idols in our closets. We haven't even told our small group about it. I'm not telling you that you got to go tell the small group, because the small group cannot do anything for you, but you should confess your sins. However, you got to tell Jesus. So what I want to ask you, I'm already standing up, because I got some idols too that I'm going to let go, because I'm going to place them in the altar. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to stand up and also say, I got some idols that I got to let go, and I got some idols that I'm going to place in the altar. So if that, I already see some people standing. I'm telling you. Church, look around. Look around. They got idols too. But you know what's the difference today? Is that today we say, devil, no more. Today is the day that we say, God, you come and be the Lord of my life. No more idols. No more idols. Somebody shout that with me. No more idols. Somebody shout it again. No more idols. Somebody scream the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to Waters Church Podcast. To learn more, connect with us, or to visit a campus near you, head over to waterschurch.org. We can't wait to see what God will do in your life this week. And join us again next week for more life-changing messages from Waters Church.